I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes to take the free gift of the water of life. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this scroll. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to that person the plagues described in this scroll. And if anyone takes words away from this scroll of prophecy, God will take away from that person any share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this scroll. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen.
Thank you, Katrina. Who can hold up how many fingers they think there were for I am coming soon? I can see three. Any advance on three? Three's right. Well done for listening well. Let me pray verse 6 and verse 7 as we start. These words are trustworthy and true. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy written in this scroll. Heavenly Father, as we look at this, the last chapter of the Bible, may we recognize that your words are to be trusted and are true. And may you help us to keep what is written in this book. Help us to obey you, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, here's a test. What happens when someone says in your house, right, let's go? What do you hear from various places around the house? What did you say, Ezra? What about if can't find my shoes? What else do you hear?
Still doing my hair.
That's no good. It gets a bit more insistent. We're leaving. What do you say? Coming. Or coming. Or maybe it's when it's dinner time or tea time and other names get called. Just random names. Luke, Ezra, Daniel, Isla. Just to pick a few random names. Tea's ready. Coming. Is the answer that is heard. And then there's a wait for the person who said they were coming to appear. I find people appear for food much more quickly when they're hungry. Perhaps it's been you who's heard your name called out and you've shouted back, coming, but then you didn't quite come straight away. Well, in this last chapter of the Bible, someone very, very important, that's Jesus, says that he is coming soon. And it tells us how to be ready for his coming. Parents, can you show your children the three places in the last chapter of your Bibles where John sees in his vision Jesus saying, verse 7, look, I am coming soon. Can you point them to that? Verse 12, look, I am coming soon. And verse 20. Yes, I am coming soon. Jesus is the one who came and died that we might be forgiven and given new life in him. And he rose from the grave that first Easter, beating death. And he told his disciples the night before he was crucified, he would come back and take them to be with him where he is. And here in the last chapter of the Bible, three times we're told Jesus is coming back. So my question for all of us this Easter is, how do we live ready for his return? If Jesus is going to come back, and on that day he's going to sort everyone out into those who are his and those who are not, what does it look like to be ready for Jesus' coming back? If you have to catch a bus or a train, what do you have to do to be ready?
Wait.
What do you have to do to be ready? Yes, Kez? You have to be in the right place. You have to be there. Well done. At the bus stop or at the train station, ready to get on. What do you have to do if you don't want to miss your lunch or your tea? You have to be at the dinner table when the food is served. Well, I'm going to be picking out some things from this chapter that tell us what it looks like to be ready for Jesus' coming. The disciples in the first century and us now and everyone in between are all living in the gap between Jesus' first coming and his coming back. We're all in this gap. Remember last week when Jesus described what it'd be like when he comes back? It will be amazing. A new earth. It'll have all the Christians in it. And God will be there and it will be perfect. No one and nothing bad will be there. More amazing than you can dream. That's what we're looking forward to, but we're in the gap. The first thing this chapter says is worship God. Can you see that? What happened is John heard and saw all the amazing things in the vision, and then he, verse 8, fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who'd been showing them to him. But the angel said, "Don't do that. I'm just a fellow servant with you and with everyone else who keeps the words of this scroll." Worship God was what the angel said. What do you think worship is? Here's one answer. Worshipping God is showing by your words and your thoughts and your actions how great God is. Do you show by your words and your thoughts and your actions how great God is? How do you show anyone, a friend, for instance, by your words and your thoughts and your actions how great you think they are? How do you do that? Well, you tell them, "I think you're great. You're a good friend. Thanks for being a friend." You think about what they're like. What do they like? And you make good choices about what to give them or to say to them. One verse in the Bible says this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. "Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." That's worship. Doing things for the glory of God. Did you know you can worship God when you're eating and when you're drinking and when you're brushing your teeth and when you're walking to school and when you're driving? You can worship God in any place. How? Well, one way is by being grateful, by appreciating all the good things God has given you. So you're brushing your teeth. How can you worship God? In your mind, you can thank God that you've got some teeth still. And you can thank God for dentists who help look after your teeth. And you can thank God that you have a mum and dad to make sure you brush your teeth. There you go, that's worshipping God. We say thanks for the foods on our tables, don't we? Quite often. Do you say thank you to God for other things? For health, for friends, for family, clothes, fun? Because gratitude, thankfulness to God, is the attitude that God wants from us. That's the first thing, worship God. Second thing, do what he says. In John's vision, twice he's told that doing what God says is important. Look at verse 7. "Blessed is the one who keeps the words of this scroll." And then in verse 10, "Don't seal up the words of this scroll." If we accept that God has given us words that are trustworthy and are true, then it's our job to know them and to believe them and to obey him. We can trust what God has said is truly good for us and get on with doing it. Well, what is it to do that? Well, Jesus summed it up this way. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. And he said something else. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. Are you doing what God says? Jesus said once, the one who loves me is the one who obeys my commandments. Is that you? Do you ask for a Bible time with your mum and dad in the evenings? Please, can we read the Bible, mum? Dad, I want to know what God says. I want to keep this book open, not shut. Do you take time to hear what God is saying in your day? If we rarely get our Bibles open and read them, then we aren't going to be doing what verse 10 says. If we don't open our Bibles, we'll be sealing up the words of this prophecy. So make sure your Bible's open. Find out what God is like and learn to love what he loves. There you go. That's two ways to be ready. How are you feeling? Worship God and do what he says. I'm not actually feeling very well by verse 10. By this last chapter of the Bible, I could be feeling awful because I know I don't worship God very well and I don't do what he says very well. Well, let me show you something really, really good. If you're like me and you hear worship God and you hear do what he says, that's what it's like to be ready for Jesus' coming. You feel bad and weak and feeble. Look at verse 12, the very next thing that is said. Look, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they've done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. That's Jesus, by the way. I think of the record of the things I've done, and I know that what I've done is not a clean record. There's lies and selfishness and greed and anger and bitterness and other bad things. What I need right now is a washing. A fresh start. I need forgiving. Look at the next verse, verse 14. Jesus knows that our record is bad. We only deserve his judgment, not his reward. So he says, blessed are those who wash their robes. Robes are clothes. Right. Robes stand for what we have done. I need my volunteer to come out to the front. I've got a black jacket here. Thank you, Fern. Could you put a black robe? You have to model that now. Turn around. Okay, black stands for dark and bad and not good. And all of us, if we're honest, have clothes that are dirty, that are sinful. We need to have our clothes washed. Blessed are those who wash their robes, it says. Jesus knows we need cleansing, and that's why he came. So how do we wash our robes? Let's demonstrate. Can you take that off? And it's going to swamp you, but let's put on something. Oh, no, I've not gotten the buttons up. Can you slip that over your head? This is white. White stands for clean and pure and fresh and white. Yeah, oh, dear, lost inside it. Nearly. You get it on. Jesus lived the perfect life. He lived the one that we haven't lived. None of us. We've all sinned, we've fallen short. And then he chose to lay down his life. He died on a Roman cross. And the whole Bible tells us that he came to do that for us. When he died, he was taking the punishment for all our sin on himself. And when he rose from the dead, he was saying, and we can believe, that this punishment was taken fully, and we can now, wrap yourself in that nice white shirt, be cleansed. Now, I don't do that by my own effort, do I? I don't provide my own robes. I get given them by Jesus. So that's the first thing. In fact, thank you for being my model. My beautiful white shirt. Let's take it off. Thank you, Fern. Wash yourselves. No. Let the one. Blessed are those who wash their robes, Jesus says. Why? Because they might have the right to the tree of life and might go through the gates into the city. So we wash our robes, not by dying ourselves, but by believing in Jesus' death for us and his rising from the dead. That's the message of the gospel. Do you want that? Do you want the right to the tree of life? Well, then believe in what Jesus has done. Look at verse 17, this Easter morning to finish. The Spirit and the bride say, come and be washed. The churches, that's us, we should be saying to others, come and be washed by Jesus' death. Let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. Here's another picture. I've just shown you some robes being washed, and I'm now showing you a glass of water. To trust in Jesus would be as easy to take a glass of water and receive the free gift of life. That's why it says come so many times. Will you come? Will you receive his washing? Will you receive this gift of life? The good news of Easter is that Jesus came not to make demands of us. Worship me. Try harder. He came to say, I have washed anyone who believes in me, and I hold out a free gift of the water of life to anyone who will trust me. And with my Spirit's strength, you will then be able to worship me. And you will then be able to obey me. His gift comes first. Jesus died for us. He rose again. And now it's what are you going to do with that? That's the message of Easter. Will you now respond? And because he's washed you, and because he's given you fresh, living water to drink, will you worship him and will you obey him? We can only do those things because he has first loved us. May that be true for you this morning. And if that's fresh news, I'd love to talk to you about how you can receive it for yourself. Let me pray and then invite conversations or comments from the floor and questions. Let me pray for us. Let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. Thank you, our Father, that this gift of believing in Jesus is free. We don't have to earn it. We can just receive it, and all our sin can be washed away. We praise you for the message of Easter, for this, the last book of the Bible, that encourages us to come to him. May each of us do that freshly, and we ask it for Jesus' name's sake. Amen. Well done for listening so well. Don't forget the clothes, the robes, and don't forget the glass of free gift of water. Anybody got anything by way of encouragement or a question, I will try and answer. And we'll bring a microphone to you. It's Easter Day. We're not going to miss out on this opportunity to ask or encourage. Are you going to stay quiet? Something by way of encouragement for Easter that you'd like to share with others. Not chocolate orientated, ideally. All right, well, let me read the last words then of Revelation chapter 22. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. And let's say together, amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Back to Caroline.